Greetings in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. The Call to Obedience Radio Ministry comes to you out of Kokomo, Indiana, and I'm your radio Bible teacher for this time each week. Let me continue with my story of my early life after we have had some prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray now for your divine anointing on this declaration of these glorious, wonderful experiences. May they minister help and encouragement to every listening heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Last week I shared with you that when I was born in Nazi Germany, all people were classified into three basic categories. You either were a Jew or you were an Aryan, which means you were a pure German, or you were a mongrel. And there were first and second degree mongrels, depending on how many Jewish grandparents you had. And I was classified as a second degree mongrel when I was born in Hamburg, Germany in 1936. Through the Lord's marvelous mercies and interventions, we survived the harassments of the Nazis in that city of Hamburg. My Jewish grandfather escaped to England. We survived the bombings, for our home was not leveled by the bombs until after we had left that neighborhood. We moved to East Germany, where a short while before the Red Army came to invade our city, my mother had the fifth child, and my father died at 39 years of age. Again, through God's mercies, 24 hours before the communists took our city, we made a miraculous escape via a hospital train, and our train that should have taken 2 hours, took 3 days and 3 nights to get to Gdansk, now a great city in Poland. Most of the time, our family was standing between the quadruple bunk beds of wounded and dying soldiers in this cold winter of 1944-45 for those 3 days. So, on the third day, we arrived at Gdansk. By this time, the Red Army was right on our heels, and we were locked in by the Soviet forces with our backs to the Baltic Sea. The only way out was by ship through the Baltic Sea. If you don't remember your geography, the Baltic Sea there in East Germany connects to Finland, it connects to Norway, Sweden, Denmark, West Germany, and into Russia to Petersburg, St. Petersburg. While the Russian MiGs were flying over the city, shooting at the population, so to speak, to soften up the enemy, my brother and I found a ship that was taking on refugees, and as we inquired, we found out there was a possibility to get on the ship. At that particular time, Adolf Hitler had ordered the largest naval evacuation in the history of mankind to take potentially as many of the 1.5 million people. They were locked in this pocket in the Gdansk area of East Germany out to West Germany by sea. By this time, the waters of the Baltic Sea were very dangerous. There were lots of mines. There were two Russian submarines which were sinking German refugee ships, and there were several enemy torpedo boats also trying to sink those ships. During this evacuation, several ships were hit and 22,000 refugees drowned in the ice-cold waters of the Baltic Sea. When we were on our ship, the Lord sent a fog. It was so heavy that we could not see the front of the ship from the back. That, I believe, prevented the torpedo boats and submarines from finding our ship. On the front of the ship, there were several sailors with long poles, and as the ship was making its way slowly through the waters, they used these poles to push away the water mines. Yes, my friend, here again, remember that my mother wrote my name next to Psalm 91:11 in the margin of her Bible in 1936. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Since the West German harbors were mined shut, our ship then went to Copenhagen, Denmark, where we were unloaded and then taken to a refugee camp. For 2 years, we lived behind barbed wire, 36,000 of us. with 17 people to one room. During this time, my baby sister, with many other babies, died of starvation, and she was buried in a mass grave. She was born to get our family out of the hands of the communists. That was her mission. In our room of 17 people, our family of five had two bunk beds, and as I was trying to sleep each night on that same quarter inch of straw, I began to wonder about the meaning of life. After a year had transpired, the refugees decided to start a school system consisting of elementary school, high school, and university. There were no books, there were no laboratories, there were no notebooks, no pencils, but we had empty barracks, we had a blackboard, we had a teacher, and we had a piece of chalk. While we were learning there, we had to memorize the greatest of all German hymns, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." And that, dear ones, was my first religious education. As I lay on my top bunk, I was meditating on the word God. Who is God? Where is God? And why is all this happening? I was like little boy Samuel, I believe, who heard a voice calling him in the night, but he could not distinguish as to who it was. But thank God, about 1 year later, as we returned to Hamburg, Germany, I had my first personal experience with God. I still remember the day when I'd gone out into a forest, and since I had no tent and no blanket, I slept that night under pine branches. I wanted to get away from the destruction of the city, which was 78% leveled. As I woke up in the morning, the golden beams of the sun were coming through the birch trees, and I heard a voice speaking to me. And this voice said, "I love you. I love you. I am love." There was no one around except myself. This is the first time I heard the voice of God. Then God told me, "All the suffering and all the trouble you see about you is not of my making. It's a result of man's inhumanity to man." That was my first experience with God. Now, dear ones, I don't know if this fits in with your theology, but I want you to know that I knew almost nothing about Jesus and about God. All I can tell you is what I experienced without having any theology. Sometimes those who have no theology experience more of God than those who do have a theology. God told this 13-year-old boy that he loved him. Of course, I knew my mother loved me, but I never heard her tell me that she loved me, and she was busy enough for a young widow to keep all of us kids alive in those difficult days. Now then, I want to relate another story with you. When I was 16, I was about to graduate from high school. In Germany, we started 12, we ended 16. In the last year of our school, we were presented with Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. As I listened to the presentation, I could not put things together in my head, because as I looked around the classroom, according to Charles Darwin, some of the students should have been perhaps 10% ape, and maybe some others 15 and 20 and 30% ape, and so forth. But I couldn't find anybody in my class, nor in the whole school of 500 students, who had any ape in them at all. If man has come from the ape, then I should see at least a little bit of ape on people in the trains in downtown Hamburg, my city. But they were all pure Homo sapiens, human beings, and the apes were all stuck in Africa. This whole thing of evolution did not come together at all in my head. And it was also then that I heard an inner voice. There was something within me, within my soul, although I didn't have the word soul in my vocabulary, there was something within me which told me that this was not the truth. It did not have the ring of truth. So when the professor was done presenting Darwin's theory of evolution, he asked, "Is there anybody in class who would like to disprove Charles Darwin?" And without me wanting to, without me willing to, without me planning to, my 6'5" frame stood up, and I said, "I must speak against this tomorrow." I want you to know, dear ones, I was the shyest, most introvert boy in this all-boys high school. I had never said anything much in those 4 years in school, and now I was ready to face the whole class. I knew I had to, because what got me on my feet was not my will, but it was God's will. It was the power of God itself. When I sat down, the professor said to me, "Mr. Schulze, you have the whole science hour tomorrow." That day, as I went home for the first time in my life, I asked my mother if she had a Bible. She pulled out her old Lutheran Bible and handed it to me. You know, when you're a scientist, you always look at the last periodical published. And I noticed the Bible had many books in it. And since I wanted to be a medical doctor, I decided to look for the answers in the last book published, which is the Revelation. As I read through the Revelation, I was totally confused. I could not understand one thing from the other. And consequently, I went to bed that night and I said, "God Almighty, whoever you are, tomorrow is your hour. You have to tell me what to say." And I fell sound asleep. As I faced the class the next day, I was quite an experience. You could have heard a pin drop. After several seconds, which seemed to me like hours, the words came out of my mouth. God gave them to me, and I said, "It cannot be, it cannot be, there must be a God, there must be a God." These are the only words that came from my lips, and after waiting for a few moments for more words, and none came, I made my way back to my seat against the back wall of the classroom, and just as I was ready to slide into my seat, the glory of God came upon me, and God spake to me again, and he said to me, "I will give you the answers to the questions of origin, purpose, and destiny." You see, just a few weeks before that, I had been saying to myself, "What am I here for? Where did I come from? Where will I go when I die?" I had been wrestling with the biggest questions of life, which are generally not answered in any of our educational institutions. And now the Almighty God Himself told me that He would give me the answers to the origin and purpose and destiny questions. I was thrilled. I was so excited, more than I can possibly tell you, that the only thing that I had in my mind from that day on was to know God. Every day after school, I would run and walk to our home, run and walk, walk and run, to get there as quickly as I could, to open the Bible, to read about God, and to pray to the unknown God. After not finding any answers, I finally went to a minister of a Lutheran church downtown, and I said to him, "Sir, I'd like to know what to do to make it to heaven." And he said to me, "Young man, do more goods than bad deeds and you'll be safe." I said to myself, "How will I ever know if I do more good deeds than bad deeds?" I returned home disappointed and continued to search the scriptures and to pray to the unknown God every day. Now, we must stop here with this part of the story of my life, and we'll continue next week. Now, next week, at the third sharing of my story, I shall give you my address so you can write to me and order a cassette tape with all these messages on my life experiences on it. So next week, have paper and pencil ready. I can give you my website address right now. It is www.schulze. That's schulze.org. Please pray for me. Until next week, I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry.